So, Mrs. Gordon, what's your full name?
Davina Beryl Gordon.
Right. And what's your current occupation? Or if you're retired, what did you do in the past?
Well, after I left school, I did secretarial work, and then I became very interested in jewellery. So I took a course for 2 years on gemstones and became a gemologist, and I worked in a jeweller's shop for many years.
All right, interesting. And can I ask your date of birth and where you were born, where you lived as a child?
30th of August, 1933, and I lived at Eastcote, which is a suburb, a western suburb of London, between Ruislip and Harrow, right, until I was 24.
All right. And what did your parents do when you were growing up?
Well, my mother, like most women of her generation, didn't work once she got married, and my father was assistant manager of Lyons confectionery factory. J. Lyons used to have lots of tea shops, made green label tea, so he worked for them.
Oh, right. Big factory, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, primary school, what was the first school that you went to?
It was called Cannon Lane Primary School, and it was a huge, great modern glass building, and I think it was built in the 1930s because all that part of London, it's just a sea of semi-detached houses, all built between the wars, and the school was built for those children.
Right.
Huge classrooms. We had 50 in our class.
Really?
Yes, because I went to school, I was born in 1933, so I started school right at the beginning of the war, and so many teachers were called up that we just were so short of teachers that we had very big classes.
Gosh. And do you remember if you were taught history at all there?
Do you know, I don't. I cannot remember actually being taught history as history at all.
And what about, were there ever stories about people like King Alfred the Great or anyone like that?
Well, I think there may have been. I think there probably were, because that's the sort of thing that you know, but I don't know when I was taught it.
Right, yes. It just appears in your brain.
Yes, that's right. That's a good phrase. It does.
Yes. And do you remember if there were ever any pictures or maps or charts on the walls when you were very small at school?
No, I don't. I really cannot remember that, I'm sorry to say.
That's okay. And how long were you at that school at Cannon?
Oh, right from 6 until 11.
Right, so you don't remember history, being taught history?
No, I don't. But oddly enough, I just asked my 11-year-old granddaughter, I said, do you enjoy history lessons at school? And she said, we don't do history. And I said, oh, come, of course you do history. And my daughter said, oh, yes, she does do history, but they don't call it history, it's all projects.
Oh.
So I said, well, do you have a timetable, you know, which says what you're going to do at each time of day? And she said, no. But she said, well, I think we do history about once a month, she said, to humour me. So wasn't that interesting?
Yes.
I was surprised.
Yes. So do you know what she's done projects on at all?
Well, I know she's done one on volcanoes, but that's not history.
No.
No, I don't know. I really don't know.
Interesting. Well, I think it's nowadays in primary, it's relatively left to the teacher, I think. So if the teacher loves history, they do lots of it.
Mm.
So you don't even remember projects at your school.
That's I don't think we ever did projects.
No,
I don't think we did.
Only very, very few schools did projects in those days. So when you got to 11, what happened then?
Well, I passed the scholarship and I went to Godolphin and Latimer Girls' Grammar School in Hammersmith, which is where my mother and my aunt both went.
Oh, right.
So the whole family was thrilled that I got into Godolphin.
Right, that's good. And what sort of history were you taught there?
Well, do you know, I can remember that history very, very clearly. And I think we worked chronologically. We started off with Roman Britain, you know, and then we did the Angles and Saxons and Vikings, and we did the Dark Ages, and we did the monasteries, and we did the Normans, and then we that's how we did history.
Mm-hmm.
Right up until the sixth, no, I didn't do the sixth form, until the upper fifth when we took the school certificate.
Right. And how was it taught? taught? I mean, did the teacher talk to you?
She did. Nothing on the desk. Hands in your lap. Don't take notes. And she talked. And I found her extremely interesting. She had a quiet voice. She could keep order just by glancing round. And we all listened and we all paid attention. And then at the end of the lesson, she would say, now you can sort of read up everything that I... Oh, she used to write the odd dates on the blackboard. We could read the chapter about it in our textbook. And then we would be set an essay, which we had to write. Mm-hmm. That was how we were taught.
So you didn't take any notes at all?
Nope.
So you just...
But it was all down in the textbooks afterwards.
Oh, okay, right.
I mean, the homework might be copy down the principal features of such and such a treaty or something or other, but she talked about it.
Right, and she was obviously a very interesting teacher, so she made it.
She was. Unfortunately, she got headhunted to be a headmistress of another school. But we had her for several years.
Right, and did the style of teaching change when you got a new teacher?
I should say it did. Because Miss Vine, I suppose she'd be in her, late 40s perhaps. When you're a child, you always think the teachers are perhaps a bit older than they really are. But the new one we had, Miss Bronsden, she was straight from university and terribly left-wing. Oh, I'm not saying she was, she never said, I am a communist, but we did the Industrial Revolution and we had women dragging trucks underground, you know, in the coal mines. She really laboured the point. And she did teach, she did bring a lot of newspapers in, you know, right from the Daily Worker up to the Times. And we all used to have to read them. And this was interesting, compare how the same bit of news was tackled in each paper.
Oh, right.
I mean, the Daily Sketch was the picture paper, so it might not have had the same articles as the Times, but it's quite interesting.
And so what year was she to you?
That would be when I was in the lower six, after we'd taken our school certificate, and I did the secretarial course. But of course, the secretarial course wasn't shorthand and typing all the time. You still had other lessons, normal lessons in between, and that's when we had her.
Oh, I see. Right. So, but you had Miss Vine right the way through the school certificate.
Yes.
And did her methods change at all as you went up the school, or did it really all? Did she teach the Romans in the same way as the Victorians? Do you think?
I don't remember that. I really don't quite remember it. But in a way, you must have taught it differently because the subject matter is so different. Mm. I mean, the Romans was more about sort of building roads and, the organisation of the country. I mean, you weren't doing treaties and wars and things like that.
Yes, that's true. It kind of gets more complicated, conveniently gets more complicated later, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
And also, you would be more developed later, so you'd be able to cope with more. So, when you talked about the textbooks, can you remember those at all?
No, I can't.
You don't know what you had, what it was?
No, I don't.
And did they have pictures?
Yes, they did.
Right.
They did have some. I know that they would have a picture of a castle, you know, with a little diagram saying this is the keep and this is, you know, well, a diagram of a castle. And the medieval year, I do seem to remember we had a wheel saying, hedging and ditching and sowing this and that the other and the strip system and that sort of thing. I think we had those sort of pictures.
Right, yes.
But it's all only in black and white.
And again, was there anything on the wall? Did you go to a history room or did she come to you in the...
Yeah, we had a special room.
And history. So that would have maps and pictures?
Yes,
and
I think it did. Yes, I remember I was very surprised when I went to Godolphin that we did a lot of walking around from room to room.
Yeah.
We were always carrying armfuls of books, whereas in the primary school you have the same teacher and you sit at the same desk all day long.
Yes.
I found that quite novel.
Yes, I think 11-year-olds always find that quite challenging, don't they? Moving around from room to room and being organised.
It's an awful waste of time.
Yes, that's right. And did you ever do anything like trips out to museums? Or
Yes, we did. So you see, we were in Hammersmith.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
So South Kent is only a couple of stations. Not only did we go with the school, but we all got so interested, we used to go on our own in the holidays. Because children, when I was, you know, 11 to 14, you could go anywhere. Nobody felt worried about you doing that. Mm. You know, we go up and down Exhibition Road, been to the mall.
Oh, right. Good.
But we did have a trip to St Albans.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There's an old Roman amphitheatre there. Mm. Which I had no idea existed, and very few people I've spoken to even know it's there now. But we had a lovely day out there.
And you went in a coach? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And that was a real novelty because... Now, see, I went to Godolphin in 1944. War was still on. Mm. None of us had a car.
Mm.
And you couldn't have a seaside holiday because the beaches were all, you know, mined and barbed wire
course,
everywhere.
Yeah.
So we didn't really go anywhere. So it was really exciting to go on a coach trip somewhere. And we did for geography. We went to all down the South Downs and we went up to the Lake District. But with history, we certainly did go to St Albans.
Mm.
And our Latin teacher took us to Cambridge.
Oh, right. And was that perhaps after the war had ended?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes it was.
So you went to St Albans and you also went... What, to the museums like the Victorian Albert or
yes,
the British Museum?
Yes, Natural History Museum. And of course, I even then I was interested in jewellery. The Geological Museum's got some beautiful specimens.
Mm.
And Victorian Albert now.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you go up to the jewel room, it's fantastic. It's lovely, yes.
Yes, it is.
We developed quite a taste for museums, I think.
That's really good. And that was through the school inspiring you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. What about film or radio? Did Godolphins have any?
Yeah, we used to have a projector.
Mm-hmm. And what did they show? Can you remember?
I can remember a geography. They were used more for geography, I think, rather than history. No, we didn't use the radio at all.
They never played any... Because there were history programmes for schools.
No, we didn't listen to them, but we did do some singing together.
Oh, right, yep. With the radio.
Yes.
Using the radio.
Used to like that. I've still got some of the books.
Oh, right. That's pretty good.
Oh. I mean, I'm not saying we didn't do radio, but I don't remember it.
Hmm. Well, you may well not have done. I mean, a lot of schools did, but I've yet... Apparently, because I've been to the BBC archives.
Yes.
But I've actually yet to meet any... I think I've met one person at school in the 50s who remembers radio at all. So, I don't know what...
Well, I was from 1944 to 1950.
Yes. So I was definitely going then. Mm. But it started in the late 20s.
Well, do you know...
I don't know. Maybe... I don't know. Be interested to find somebody who remembers it.
Mm. Well, if we did, Jean will remember.
Okay.
You make a point of asking
okay,
her.
No, I'll ask Mrs.
Tuke.
And did you like the history at school, where it was taught?
Yes.
Right.
Always look forward to history lessons.
Mm-hmm. That was because you found them so interesting.
Yes, I did.
Mm, good. And then did you stay on at school after 14?
Well, yes, we had to sign an undertaking that our parents had to sign an undertaking that we would, because they didn't want you to accept a grammar school place if you were going to leave at 14, because you were depriving somebody else of the opportunity. So, yes, indeed.
And did you do history for school certificate?
Yes.
And did you get a choice about that, or did everybody do it at your school?
It was automatically done.
Right.
It was absolutely automatic that you did English language, English literature, geography, history, and one of the sciences, either biology or physics and chemistry. I mean, that was absolutely... non-negotiable.
Right.
That's what you did. And then there were other subjects you could take. I mean, you could take home economics or scripture. But those were the core subjects.
Right. Okay. And so obviously you didn't have to, but you'd have presumably chosen it anyway.
Yes.
Even if you had a choice. And did it make a difference at sort of school certificate level? I mean, did you teach differently at all?
I think it was more detailed. And you see, by that time, this would be about sort of 1950-ish, we'd all lived through the war and all the sorting out that happened after the war. I think it was all quite real to us. We did modern Europe. Yes, we did things like the unification of Italy or the unification of Germany. And I had never realised, I don't think many of us had, that Italy had been a whole lot of little states until relatively recently. Yes, it was very interesting.
Mm.
Yes.
Did they ever bring in things like the League of Nations?
Yes. That's afterwards. We stopped at 1914.
Yeah, and also obviously after the war anyway, it wasn't around anymore. Oh, so your period for school certificate was modern Europe, what, 1780 or something, was it?
Do you know, I can't remember when it started, but it was certainly, we didn't do the French Revolution, I know that. I think it might have been something like 1830.
Oh, right, so 1914.
Yes, I think so. I do remember very distinctly having to write an essay called Why Was 1848 Known as the Year of Revolutions?
Oh, right.
And I wrote about 10 pages on it, and I thought, oh, well, is there a country that hasn't had a revolution? I remember that very clearly. I don't remember the revolutions now, but I do remember that essay.
Mm.
It was a long one.
And that was when you did, while you were studying for
yes,
school certificate.
That's right.
All right.
So you see, my father was born in 1892. And my mother in 1902. So my father was a Victorian, and they could tell tales of their grandparents, so it all seemed really quite recent. Mm. I mean, modern children think Victorian is years ago, but it's kind of a lifetime memory for me.
Yes, yeah. Mm. So you stayed on, you didn't stay on to do high school certificate,
no.
You did stay on in the sixth form.
I did the secretarial course. You had a choice. They liked you to stop on and take your higher. But if you did that, they expected you afterwards to go to university. And my father was very anti-education for women, a total waste of time. They're only going to get married. He was Alf Garnett personified. And I never really wanted to go to university because I knew I didn't want to be a teacher. And I didn't quite know, I didn't have a strong enough feeling.
Yeah.
You know, if I was passionate about wanting to study classics or something, I might have made a stand. But I was quite happy to get out and earn a living, so I did the secretarial course.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my friends did go to university, a very high proportion for that period of time.
Yes, yes. And so the history that you did in the lower six, was it the same history that the HS, the Highers people were studying?
No.
Or you had
no.
A separate kind of history?
Yes, we did. We had a much more general history. This is when we had Miss Bronson and her newspapers. I did see some of the history that the ones that were going on to do history for hire did, and I saw these family trees they had of royal families, starting with Queen Victoria, and I thought, thank heavens I'm not doing this. I mean, it was just so complicated.
Yes.
It was incredibly detailed. Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
But yours sounds very interesting, actually. So you were looking, you're comparing newspapers.
Yes.
What else did she teach you then? Can you remember at all?
No, I can't. We didn't like her.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because we were all so devoted to Miss Fine, the poor Miss Bronston. And she was very, she had strong political views. And we weren't used to it. We felt uneasy with her.
Did you argue with her at all?
No, we waited.
Not you personally, but as a class.
No, I don't think we did. No, we just. I think we then got the attitude that a lot of people had. Oh, it'll be over in a quarter of an hour. No. but I didn't enjoy it so much with her.
Yes.
No.
Hmm. So do you think history was taught well during the years you were at school?
I think so, because I wouldn't have been so interested and remembered so much. But then, you see, other people in my class wouldn't agree with me.
Mm. You had the same teacher?
Yes, exactly the same teacher.
Mm. So I think you said you've got a group of friends.
Yes.
Some of them who you've kept up with, some remember.
Yes, well, Joyce refused to even discuss the subject. Oh, terribly boring. And yet, after she left school, she went on and took an open university degree in environmental studies. So she wasn't stupid. I mean, she was quite receptive, but history didn't appeal to her.
Mm.
And Anne couldn't remember, but she feels guilty about not remembering. But she's the one that said, now, if I'd seen an article in Saga saying, how was chemistry taught? Do you remember any experiments you did? She said, I could tell you all of them. So she said to me, how many can you remember? Well, not many, Anne. So I think that no matter how good the teaching, if your mind doesn't work that way, you're not going to be interested.
It's a very good point, yes.
We are all interested in different things,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes. Well, that's because you've actually talked... So you've talked to three other people.
Yes.
You all taught the same...
All in the same form at school.
Yes.
With the same teacher.
But one of the other ones is interested in history still. Is that right, Mrs. Took? Or?
Interested? She started the Historical Society when we were at school.
Oh, right.
She asked our history teachers if... I think we should have a historical society. They said, all right, get on and organise it. And she did.
Right.
She wrote off to people. And we had a class full of us used to come and listen. And she did. She was a member of your historical institute for a year or two.
Oh, right, IHI, yes.
She took a degree in economics, but she got very interested in genealogy.
Mm.
And do you know she hasn't got a computer?
Oh, really?
I said, Jean, how do you do it without a computer? Well, she said, I suppose I ought to get one. But yeah. This was a few years ago, because like me, she's getting older now. I don't think she does so much. But she organised a holiday, youth hosteling, because she was determined to go and see the site of the Battle of Marston Moor.
Ah.
And we got there, and there was a little museum place, and I saw on the television not so long ago that they reckon now that it was a mile from where we're all being taught. And I very nearly phoned her up and said, Jean, you've tracked me all round those hills to the wrong place.
You have to go back there. How old were you when you went on the pilgrimage?
I think we'd be about 18.
Mm. Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, you could do another trip.
Yeah. We also went to Blenheim Palace.
As a group?
No, just me and Jean.
Right.
And a big picture, huge picture of Consuelo Vanderbilt. And we said, what a strange name. How peculiar. And then she'd gone to university. I was working in London. I bought the Evening Standard on the way home, and there was a big article about... English aristocracy, impoverished English aristocracy, marrying American heiresses. And she was one of them. So I cut the article out, sent it to her. She was at Birmingham University. And about 40 or 50 years later, she's married and retired now, they went on holiday to New England, and she went round the Vanderbilt cottage.
Oh.
And she said, I thought of you and Consuelo. So, you see?
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
Yes. So, do you think there should have been any improvements in how you were taught history, or did you think it was taught really as well as it could have been?
Do I think now, or did I think at the time?
Well, both. Why not? When you were there, did you think it should be better? And what about now, looking back at
it? Do you know, I never questioned it while we were there. That was the way it was taught, and just accepted that fact. Yes, I think a little bit more variety might have been a good idea. I think a global picture would have been a good idea. I mean, you do your little bit of European history, but nobody says, well, at the time, over in China, they were far more advanced than us.
Yes.
I only discovered all this much later on.
Mm. That's a good point. Well, what people keep saying is basically there's so much history, how do you get it all in?
Yes.
It's how you make these decisions. But, I mean, I think that's right. There wasn't much world history taught then.
The only world history we ever were taught was when we were part of it. Like, I mean, you might learn about the American War of Independence because we were involved in it.
Yes.
And sadly, we got beaten. I mean...
That's true. Just moving on from that, do you think the history that you were taught at school helped you to feel proud of being British in any way?
Now, I read that question and I've been thinking about it. And I don't think it caused us to feel proud. I just think it reinforced the fact that we were proud because we'd all been through the war, which we'd won. And at the time that I was doing history, we were getting these terrible pictures, Auschwitz and Dachau, and the father of a friend of mine down the road had been in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. And I felt that we had behaved better than that.
Yes.
And I know now, because my husband was in the Air Force and we were posted to Germany after the war, and we were in a beer keller and we suddenly realised that we were the only English people there and there were all these Germans, and one came up and he said, "Oh, are you British?" Bill said, "Yes." He said, "How do you do?" He said, "I speak good English. I was prisoner of war in England." I said, "Really?" And he said, "I'm going to make you say something." And there were so many of them. And I said, "What are you going to make us say?" And he said, "Repeat after me. Bringen Sie mir eine Flasche Sekt." And this big bottle came along and said, "I drink your health." And I said, eventually, I said, "You make it sound as though you enjoyed yourself when you were a prisoner of war." He said, "Ah," he said, "we gave ourselves up to the British. We knew we'd be all right." See, so I think that's pretty good. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Yes. We met a lot of Germans who said conversationally to us, "Oh yes, I was in England," and then they would mention some place that we'd never heard of, no, I don't think they would have come up and said that.
No.
Right. So, yeah, I think we all felt very proud to be British.
Mm.
But going back to the history lessons, I think we nearly always spent more time where we'd come out on top. You know, most of the battles we learned about, we had been on the winning side.
Right, so like the War of Independence is one of the exceptions.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Well, does anything stick in your memory, particularly from your history lessons? You know, what sticks out? Or does maybe nothing does particularly?
Well, the one that I wrote to you, that I wrote about in my questionnaire, that one we did on Queen Elizabeth I.
I would tell a bit more about it for the microphone.
Well, as I said before, our history mistress used to come in and look us all in the eye, and we all used to have to sit there, and she would talk to us. And she came in on this class, which I remember so well, and she said, "Now then, girls, how old are you? You're 15. She said, "We're going to talk about Queen Elizabeth I. And she said, "Remember, when she wasn't very much older than you, she was taken to the Tower of London through Traitor's Gate and was in fear of losing her head. She spent many years waiting, you know, for her sister to die, really. And when she came to the throne, the country was in a... Well, it was divided. There were the Catholics, there were the Protestants. People were on one side, people were on the other side. She didn't know who to trust. What she had to do was to get the country stable. Now, what do you think she should do? What laws do you think she should enact in order to get peace in the country?" And we all had to come up with suggestions. And at the end of the lesson, she said to us, "Girls, you've done very well." She said, "Between you, you have come up with the salient features of the Act of Secession," or whatever it was called. "And you can read all about it and copy it all out. That's your homework for tonight. And that's what we did. And we all felt that we were perfectly capable of ruling the country. But she did. She made that's it very... Great. I remember that lesson very, very well.
That's very good.
But that's how she taught history.
Yes, yes. So she didn't... So it wasn't all just talking at you.
No, we had to think, what would you do?
And did she do that on other occasions?
Yes, yes, she did.
Mm.
And with the Factories Act, which is the thing that Anne remembered, she did talk about how young children had to work and, you know, how bad the conditions were. And she did sort of draw a picture of what life was like if you were really poor. And she would say, now, can you imagine living in a house without much heat and no electricity, and it gets dark in the winter? And, you know, she made us try and think.
Mm.
Mm.
So good.
Mm. Again, she said, you could have been working in a factory at your age.
Mm.
My mother had a charwoman, and she was a wonderful woman, but she could hardly read or write, and she had been put into service when she was 12. Mm. She was sort of about 70-ish at the time. Amazing.
Mm.
I can remember laughing at her because she used to brew wine, and she always used to bring us a bottle, and she put rhubarb wine, R-O-O-B-A-B. And I said, oh, Mrs. King, how do you spell rhubarb? And my mother was furious with me. She took me outside and said, you go and apologise to Mrs. King. She said, it's not her fault she can't spell. You don't know how lucky you are.
Yeah.
She said she's a wonderful woman. She never complains. She works hard, totally honest. Well, you just get in there and tell her you're sorry. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I am just about the last sort of... I'm of a generation that knows people of the generation when things were very, very different.
Mm.
See, our grandchildren, I mean, they've got central heating, they've got cars, they've got everything.
Mm. Yes. Since you left school, have you gone back to doing any kind of history? Have you done any family history or house history or National Trust or all these sort of things?
Well, I'm a life member of the National Trust. I haven't done any family history because my father came down from Aberdeenshire, which is where the Gordon clan mostly is, and my father said that when he came down he spoke such broad Scottish that nobody could really understand him, and he was a terrible drunk. He was an absolutely awful character, and the impression that I've got is that that side of the family is not really worth looking into. But my husband's cousin has done that side of the family way back. Didn't turn up anything very interesting, so no, I haven't.
No.
I really don't think that there's anything terribly special in our family background.
Brad, do you ever read history books?
Oh, all the time.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. I'll tell you a very interesting one I read not so long ago. It was called The Village. Uh-huh. And it was all about how an English village was organised in the 1700s. It was so interesting. I love that. I don't like historical novels very much.
No.
I like proper history books, but not dry as dust ones.
No, readable ones.
Readable ones, yes. And there are quite a lot of them about.
Mm.
Yes. Yes, I do.
And do you ever watch some of the television programmes?
Yes, I do. Who Do You Think You Are? That can be extremely interesting.
Yes, that's a good
Boris Johnson's was very good.
Because it's partly Egyptian or something, isn't it?
No, not Egyptian.
Oh.
No, Turkish.
Turkish.
Yes, Turkish. He's very well connected. He's connected to the royal family umpteen times removed. But it was Paxman's that was the most interesting.
Oh, really?
Because his family... they were sort of knocking at the workhouse door all the time. He was in tears at the end of it. It was absolutely tragic. It really was. He couldn't believe half of it. But what I find so interesting is how meticulous all the records were. Mm. Going way, way back. I mean, they've got everybody that applied for poor relief, you know, and what they were given, like one pair of shoes. And then the next year, it says children number, it'd be four, and then the next year later, children number five, another pair of shoes. And it was for about 4 or 5 years it was like that. And in the end, I've seen so many of these programmes, I'm not sure whose is which. But the Salvation Army came to the rescue of somebody in about 1920s and paid for them to go over to Canada, where they made a new life for themselves. It was very, very interesting.
Mm.
Oh, yes. Mm. I do. I enjoy that.
Mm.
But I do find it irritating when the historical experts always talk in the present tense when they're giving programmes about history, and I find that annoying.
Mm. Yes, actually, I know what you mean.
Yes, you know, it is 1815. England is poised on the brink of defeat, you know. So-and-so, he is lining his troops up. And it happened a couple of hundred years ago. Put it in the past.
Yes, it's kind of falsely trying to make it immediate, isn't it?
Yes, but they all do it now. Sometimes there is so much background music while they're talking that I find them quite trying. I'd sooner read the book.
Mm. I have to feel that myself.
Do you?
I do, actually. And you have lots of scenery sometimes, and you think, well, actually, I don't need to see this. Have you ever been in a local historical society or anything?
There is an Amesbury Society, which I've been to one or two, but it is terribly parochial, so I haven't pursued that one.
So these sort of things that you have done a bit, obviously, and you obviously read a lot of history.
Mm.
Do you think that your school history helps at all with that?
Definitely, it makes you want to know more, and sometimes you go to a village and you think, well, I like driving round Dorset and you see toll puddle, you think, did that toll puddle, that rings a bell, and it all comes back to you. And if it doesn't come back to you, think, I'll go and look that up, you know. It certainly makes you more interested, makes you appreciate travelling round so much more. I think they did a great job at that school I went to.
That's very good. That's right. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell me about your history teaching, that, or ideas on how it was taught that I haven't asked you about?
I don't think so. I think it was very unsophisticated. I mean, it so much depended on the teacher and her fund of knowledge. We didn't have very many outside aids at all. But now, we did do Tutankhamun, and if there was an exhibition on, we would be, you know, directed to go and see it, and a lot of us did.
Can I just ask you, which I didn't ask you, did you ever have duplicated sheets or anything?
We certainly did for geography. I don't think we did for history.
No, well, other people have said that. I think geographers, teachers seem to be much more advanced with technology than history ones.
I mean, what technology would you have for history? Just a slideshow, that sort of thing?
No, I was thinking about doing duplicated sheets, getting you to write on them or something, or maps maybe, where you would have used them, which geography teachers do seem to have used.
I think the maps were in the history textbooks.
Right, but you know how in geography you write things on. Well, I suppose you know, history teachers now might have those things and get pupils to write on them.
Yes, Yes, yes. In geography, you might have the outline of South America with the rivers, and you'd have to write their names
exactly.
on them. Yes.
You could have written battles or something if it was history.
No, I don't think we did at all.
I know other people have said that as well. Mm. So. Right, well, anything else, or shall we...
No, I think that's...
That's been ever so interesting.
Has it?
It's been very good indeed.
Yes. I suppose what one forgets about is almost as interesting as what one remembers. You think, oh, there's a big gap in her knowledge there. Yes.
No, it's been very interesting. Thank you very much indeed.
Mm.